introduce our first speaker, Charles.
Hi, everyone. My name is Charles Maddy. Man, it's good to be here. This is special for me, so y'all gonna have to bear with me. I'm a little emotional tonight. And if y'all keep seeing me look down, this is my spiritual teleprompter. God sending me something to say, because it ain't nothing down here but some wood. But I'm a little nervous, but I know I'm gonna start off that way. You know what I mean? But it's gonna get better. My clean date. And this is why being here is so special for me tonight. My clean date is January 18th, 1988. My first prayer, as I look back, I remember saying, when I was sitting in my parents' basement, and the psychiatrist over at PG Hospital gave me all these prescriptions, because I didn't have no drug problems, y'all know that, right? I had marital problems, I had work problems, I had all kinds of problems, I had no drug problems. And she gave me all these pills. And I remember getting put out of my own apartment, because, you know, when I use out, my paycheck don't come home. None of that. No money come home. And my ex-wife, who was my wife at the time, put me out of my own apartment. She said, you can't have no luggage. She said, you can have your army duffel bag. And I bought you a 5-pack of 30-gallon trash bags, and that's it. That's your luggage, and you need to go. And we had two cars. I had the slick one, and we had the raggedy one, and y'all know which one I got. And I went over to the hospital, and I told the lady my story, and that, you know, it was all marriage and everything else. And she was like, all right. And she said, here goes some prescriptions. And, you know, in the back of my mind, it was dope fiend. And it was like, yep, this is what I need, some more medicine. And I remember getting those pills filled. But, you know, the part that didn't feel good was everybody knew I had a problem. That's the part that didn't feel good. Everybody knew. It wasn't one of them things. It was like me and you know, or just me, you, and you. It was like, I thought it was being broadcast on ABC. You know, and I remember getting to my parents' house, and I couldn't take it no more. You know, I just couldn't take it. And I went and got me, and I ain't, you know, giving no credence to OE, but I got me a bump of OE. And I remember taking the rest, almost as many of those pills I could fit in my left hand. And I had the 40. Or the whatever, the bumper in my right hand. And I remember saying, God, if I die, I got my way. And if I live, you'll get yours. And I took them pills, and I drank the rest of the beer, and I passed out. And when I came to in the morning, because there ain't no ambulance, come get me, nobody throw me no cold water, the desire to use was gone. And the lady who was at my job and would sit down with me, and I would give her about 10 minutes, and she would try to tell me a story, and I'd be like, time is up. I got to go to get lunch, and you know it's a 2-hour lunch, and I remember coming back to work whenever that was, and I remember saying, can I go with you? And she took me to my first meeting, and I've been coming here ever since. But the reason why the night is so special, and this is about prayer, and I know ain't nothing out of order. My first convention was CPRNA, March 1988 in Crystal City. They were selling NA and AA literature. Wasn't no clarity statement, so everybody was some of everything. But the first workshop I went in, and I was listening to this dude named Gary. I don't know where he is today. But he was saying some stuff about feelings, and I started to zone in. And then he said he was tired of feeling way up here, and he was tired of feeling way down here. He just wanted to be in the middle. And I walked out. And I have never been back to this convention till today. And the reason I haven't been back, because I always felt like I was up here and I was down there, but I couldn't get in the middle. And I'm talking about that emotional middle that only prayer can get me to. Because when I came to Narcotics Anonymous, I had a void inside of me. I didn't know that. There was something inside of me missing that all the cars in the world, all the cell phones in the world, all the honeys in the world, all the dope in the world, all the money in the world, all the property, all the prestige in the world was never going to fill. You know what I'm saying? And the fact that the theme of the convention is an awakening of the spirit. You know what I'm saying? And when they said prayer, I was like, dang. You know what I mean? God answered my prayer and got me back here to share my message. Unbelievable, you know? But when I think about the road to recovery 14 years later, It was full of prayer. Now, I hear a lot of people go through all these prayer renditions. And I don't know. All I know is 11-step basic text talks about if you don't believe in God, you can only count on meditation. You ain't got no prayer. So I'm talking about the people who got a higher power tonight. Okay? So when I think about prayer, I remember steps 1 through 12, just praying, God, just allow me to face myself and not let me use. You know what I mean? Because a lot of what I had to look at wasn't pleasant. You know, the fact that I was powerless over my addiction and my life unimaginable. I wasn't dumb. I was an addict. But when you knew in recovery, I could not make that connection. You know, something is not right because I can't use successfully, you know. And I remember saying to myself, man, and y'all know, I must not be doing it right. You know, I got to do it some other way. Don't go over shorty in them house. Go over big man in them house. You know, trying to get a connection. So what end up going back to the same spot talking about, can I get it? Who got it? You know what I'm saying? In the middle of the night. I mean, that was my dilemma, man. I was stuck. And I remember having to look at that and seeing that all my thinking got me in here. You know what I mean? But it wasn't by mistake I ended up here. You know, when I think about prayer, I think about the fact that this is what I can equate it to today, but in the beginning, it wasn't like this. In the beginning, when I think about prayer, I thought about, God, help me get somewhere. Now, I didn't know where somewhere was, but I wanted to get there. So, of course, it was, God, help me get to the point that I ain't got to hide my car no more from the snatch man, you know, because I wasn't paying nobody. You know, God, help me get to work on time because they getting ready to fire me. You know what I'm saying? This kind of stuff is what I was praying for. God, this is the fifth time I done left this woman. I thought I wanted to leave, but let me get back. So I was praying to leave and praying to come back. You know, it was nuts. Nuts in the beginning. You know, it was coming that way. And I hear people say today it was the committee. You know, and I remember coming to the point, I was like, God, just shut the committee up. You know, because I mean, it's not working. You know, my way of thinking is not working anymore. I remember, and for me, every time I go to the literature, I pray. And a lot of folks might say, well, you know, this ain't no special book. But what I pray for on each step is honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness. God, please let me be honest, open-minded, and willing with this principle so I can get some more growth into my life. Because I'm not finished growing yet. You know, and the things that I've been praying for, and I can see the big changes, you know, and I can see some of the trials that I've gone through. I remember being in that, after making the decision and praying and sharing with some people that the ex-wife didn't want me, and instead of hanging around, I was going to try to move on with my life. I remember asking God to make it a situation at least bearable so I didn't have to live in the street, you know, because I knew something had to give, you know. And I remember, you know, doing a geographical thing so I can deal. And I remember thinking that was sufficient enough until I got to where I was. And one more time, y'all know I wanted to go back, but I couldn't. So I was just holding on, you know, and I had isolated myself. And I found myself sitting in a room because, you know, even with 5 years clean, some of us ain't got better in a whole lot of areas. With me, furniture wasn't no big deal. You know, a couch and a mattress and a box spring. I didn't need no frame. I didn't need no dresser. You know what I mean? I had plastic bags I could put stuff in. The TV went on the floor. So that's how I was living. And I remember being on the floor on that box spring and mattress in a knot. I used to hear people say, yeah, I've been a ball, I've been a knot. I was in a knot. I was in an emotional knot, and I could not come out. And I remember just crying out for God. I said, please help me. Please help me out this knot. Because I couldn't get out, you know. And one day at a time, I got out, you know. And I'm not talking about I got out. I prayed, and I ended up coming out. And I remember the whole process just being a whole miracle because I was willing to open my mouth and tell somebody I need some help. And that was another big issue. Praying that God give me the courage to open my mouth and ask somebody for some help. You know, that seems so difficult. Just this. You know, it weighs a ton sometimes. You know, I'm getting ready to get put out. The IRS is coming to get me. Everything is falling short. I don't have no place to stay tonight. And your arm's like, I won't raise it. I won't ask for no help because I got this. And I remember having to raise my hand and ask for some help, man. And people sent me through some professionals. They were like, you need to go see a professional. You know, and thank God for them suggestions, man, because I followed those suggestions. And I was willing to go seek some professional help. And I remember going through situations where, and I've already shared, y'all know, that some of the things in my life had not gotten better. And what I'm talking about is bill collectors. You know, them situations had not gotten better. People was calling and he ain't here. The mail would come and I would put Lorton or some correctional facility, you know. He's in Rawway. And put it back in the mailbox. And I thought they was just going to let that slide, you know. And I remember sharing openly with my sponsor at that time. And he was like, man, why don't you just face the music? He said, the only way that you're going to get better is you got to go through. And I remember, and now, check it out, though. Going through ain't always pleasant. See, when they can't find me, they can't catch me because they can't serve me. But when they find me, they can serve me. And getting served is something, you know. And so the people were serving me civil notices. And if y'all know what that is, it's judgments, liens, and it's appearance, you know, failure to appear if you don't show up. So I had a lot of experience in that going through my 6-year clean. People asking me to show up and pay this money you ain't been paying. Because a part of my story is identity theft. That's what they call it today. They had other names for it back then. And people was catching up with me. And I remember being in such a situation that the people was threatening to put me away, you know, and I didn't know how I was going to get through it. I didn't know. And I remember praying. And through the prayer, man, I lost a house, but I ain't go to jail, you know, because I had to take what I had and I had to pay them people back their money, you know. And but prayer works, because I ended up getting another house, you know. But it was these struggles that I had to go through that I just had to constantly pray because I had made a mess. My whole thinking process would be just like out of whack. And I would just keep making decisions and I wasn't praying and I wasn't checking in with folks. And I was deciding to do things that I knew were detrimental, but they was easy to do. They was the quick things to do. They was the slick things to do. And a price I just kept having to pay just became greater and greater and greater and greater until I surrendered, until I started to pray, until I started to ask God, help me through this. And God talks through people, and people were giving me suggestions. People were sharing their stories of things that they had gone through. I remember a guy shared some stuff with me about, I thought I was in bad shape. He was in way far shape, and he had more clean time. I was like, well, dang, you screwed up, you know. But I wasn't looking at me. I couldn't see, you know, I wasn't, denial was thick, so I wasn't looking at me. But he was helping me. He didn't know that I was willing to take some of those suggestions back home and start practicing them, you know. And I remember having 7.5 years clean and trying to live this life, but still not willing to let go of some stuff, man. And I remember 7.5 years clean getting locked up again, you know. And that was difficult. That was difficult. When I finally got out, I kind of laughed it off, but for real, inside I was hurting. You know, 7.5 years clean, this is as good as it's going to get. Locked up again, you know. But when I look back at it, it was a lot of my behavior. But one more time, man, I was willing to get on my knees and ask God to give me some help and share with some people. And I never had to go to court for them charges, man. They just dropped them. They put them on a stead docket or something, you know. So it was just, I'm able to see the miracles from prayer. But sometimes that has been one of the hardest things in my life to practice. Prayer has come to me because I know what the results are if I don't pray, you know. One thing I thought of when I drove up, man, I saw all these addicts out front, and I thought about all the prayers that must have went up to get all of us here. You know what I'm saying? Because I know somebody was praying for me. You know what I mean? I was off the hook. And I know my mother and them was just like, Lord God, Jesus, please help them, because there ain't nothing we can do with them. You know, and they trying to share with me, and I'm like, all right, can I borrow some money, you know, because I didn't want to hear it. And I remember being in a situation, and y'all got family, some of y'all got family members, and wanting to help them, and there's no one to help. And I remember saying, come on, and they like, let me go. Loan me 10 and let me go. Wait a minute, come back, loan me some money first. And I remember just having to pray for the person, and just saying, God, you know, there's nothing else I can do. And that person's still out there, but I did what I could. You know, I prayed for him just like somebody had to pray for me. You know, one of the strongest results of prayer that I've seen in my life today is the ability to be able and to be willing and to be hoping and to be available to help somebody else with no strings attached. You know, a lot of it's come through prayer, but the rest of it has come through the fact that somebody was there to help me. And I was able to see through other people, like people would say stuff, like they would listen to me, share, and they'd say, man, I'm praying for you. I was like, yeah, all right. Yeah, sure, y'all. You know, but I believe that some of those people really did pray for me. You know, some of those people really did have a concern for me. Some of these people really did believe prayer could work, because if they didn't, they wouldn't have said it. You know, and, you know, I'm just so grateful a lot of times that as I continue to go on the journey, a lot of the things that used to be important to me, a lot of things I used to be caught up on, a lot of things that used to really be very important, it's just not today. If I can help somebody, that's important. If I go to my grave clean, I had a great life. You know what I mean? Because I'm free and can't nobody put me in bondage no more. You know, but that do that because I pray every day. And I believe that as I pray every day, because I pray every morning, I pray every night. Pray God use me for the day, and I thank God for another day clean before I go to bed. You know, that's my prayer life today. I believe in praying for other people today. I believe that as a result of the spiritual awakening that we have, that we become awakened, you know, on the inside, and we're able to say today, man, that is this really been a blessing, this life I'm living clean. This really is not the way I had planned things on going, but you know what? This is as good as it has ever gotten. I believe I'll keep praying, and I believe I'll keep reaching my hand out. I believe I'll keep trying to help somebody. I believe I'll keep coming when people ask me to share and share. I believe I'll be of service today because I got up this morning and I prayed, and I have the ability to do it. I'm open to my higher power today. I understand what it means to be an addict and still suffering. And there's some areas in my life I'm still suffering in, you know, that has not gotten better. Or I'm not saying it. I also suffer from soul self-esteem. So, of course, everything I do is not right. Or I'm constantly beating up on myself. I'm my worst critic. So if it ain't perfect, you know, I'm far away from it, you know. And I pray sometimes that God will help me get to a position spiritually, man, that I just can be all right with myself. You know, and that's tough. That's tough. I've been an attention wanter all my life. And now I'm an attention giver. And that's totally different. You know, the spotlight ain't got to be on me today. You know, if I can just pay my bills and go to the next thing whenever I need to get there, I'm all right. You know, I ain't got to have this. I ain't got to have that. You know, I have a relationship in my life when I remember praying another prayer. God, am I ever going to be able to sleep with one person? You know, ever. Because I couldn't understand why I kept acting out emotionally to the sex thing. I couldn't fix it. I couldn't fix it on my own. People would say, just stop. Yeah. if you were smoking crack and somebody said, just stop, raise your hand if you just stopped. You know what I mean? It just didn't work like that. And it's the same thing acting out emotionally. I just couldn't stop. You know, same thing with boosting. I just couldn't stop. Something had to happen. Either a threat of going to jail, right? Or something prayer in my life, man. And not one day at a time, it just got better. You know? But these are the things that I continuously look at prayer as being an answer to today. You know? Because I don't have the answer to why everything in my life is as good as it is today, only except for just saying prayer. That's it. You know, one of the things that I remember going through that situation, dealing with that self-esteem issue and needing somebody to say they love me. A lady said that earlier today. She would be involved in relationships, and the next thing she would ask before it was getting down or in the midst of it, do you love me? And I remember saying that. And I remember sitting there saying that wanting to feel or hear that was not just a woman thing. You know what I mean? It was a man thing. It was my thing. I just needed to hear the words because I couldn't love myself. You know, and I remember being stuck on that and just incapable of doing that. You know, I was just incapable of loving myself. And I remember, man, praying. And just one day it just came to me, you know, if God loved me, and I'm able to love somebody else, how come you're not worthy of receiving the same love? How come you can't set boundaries? How come you can't say this is just the way it's going to be? And I remember sharing that enough with people and getting it off of me enough that I remember just hearing enough feedback to say, I'm just not going to do it that way no more. I remember doing that. You know, and I remember just dealing with one person and how difficult it was because I didn't know what they were going to do. I didn't know if they were going to stay or go. And it was that fear. And every day I would pray, God, just allow me to be capable to deal with whatever happened today. One day at a time, you know, dealing with a relationship. And it's been working in my life today. And one of the biggest things I'm going to share about before I close up is as it relates to prayer. And that is, I'm going to share about my daughter. She's my adopted daughter. I have legal custody over her now. And I remember this was a very difficult time in my life. My wife is 10 years older than me. My kids are 13 and 11. Hers are in their 20s. And I was like, okay, 5 more years of child support and we going to get ourselves a house out in the outback. And this, you know, this is it. We just going to enjoy the rest of our life. And I remember going to this city where this young lady was and watching her being caught up in the grip of addiction. And she had a baby, and the baby was some weeks old, and she had already, like, she was using. And using people, this particular using person abandoned her baby. And I remember my wife coming to me and saying, my niece is, you know, going through blah, blah, blah. She's not taking this kid. I believe we're going to take care of this baby. Now, you know, I'm saying to myself, now, how old are you? And I'm saying it to her, and I'm looking at me, I'm saying, how old am I? And we're going to take care of a what? A two-week-old baby? How are we going to do this? Hold up. And I remember just totally being against it. I wasn't for it. I wasn't going to have it. Mark's next. It wasn't going to go, you know. And my wife asked me one simple thing. She said, will you at least pray on it? And I remember just being unwilling to pray on it. I went a week. I ain't praying on nothing. You got the answer. Hit a prayer. No. You know? And I remember, man, just saying to myself after a week, I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray one time. And, you know, a lot of us say prayer is asking and meditating is hearing. And I heard that answer for a week, man. You need to go get that baby. And I remember saying, that ain't God talking. That's my split personality. I'm not going to get no baby. Babies are done. We finished. And that voice, that spiritual voice in me got louder. Just like when I came into his rooms, that thing was telling me something's wrong. It would pop up, something is wrong. You need to go get that baby. Nope, I'm not getting no baby. The next day, a little louder. Something is wrong. You need to go get that. God, if this is you talking, I'm not getting no baby. You need to get the baby. Why? You need to get the baby. I mean, day by day, you know, I'm all day long. Why? The next day by day, you need to get that baby. And the last day, it was, you need to get that baby because I came and got you. And when I heard that, it was clear. I need to go get that baby. Now, I'm not going to sit up here and tell y'all that I might not need a mental checkup, but that was clear to me that day that I need to go get that baby. And I wasn't going to have no rest until I went to get that baby. And I remember trying to, you know, the man think, I'm going to be hard. The baby going to come home and I'm going to put this wall up, blah, blah, blah. My wife brought that baby home, man. I was gone. Goo, goo, gay, gay. Dad, 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 dad. And I remember saying, man, what happened? You know, something happened to me through praying because here this baby is and I'm stuck. I'm not saying I'm stuck with the baby. I'm stuck like this baby ain't going nowhere. And I remember just, man, and I can't explain the joy in my life by taking a suffering addict's child, you know what I mean, and be willing to take care of it, you know. And that's change. And I mean, but that came through prayer, you know, because I was willing to do it. That it made a difference in somebody's life, you know. And I'm saying, like, I went through the child, you know, the one twosies, threesies, and all that stuff, and it seemed like I was such an impatient person. Now, the baby tan stuff, that's all right. You know, the stuff fall down, don't worry about it. I'm so calm, you know. Whereas before, I just, You know, I didn't think I had that kind of patience and tolerance in me. But that's just been a great blessing in my life, man. And, you know, and the other thing I've been able to do is I've been able to pray for that sister who's still suffering. And I told my wife, I said, I will always be open if this sister decides she want to come back and get a baby, if she could get clean. And I ain't talking about no 30 days. Y'all know, he said, 30 days, can I go get some government benefits? Nah, we talking, she going to have to get some time before I'm willing, but I'm willing to do that today. But it's only through prayer that I've got to this point in my life. I'd like to thank everybody for listening, and I'm going to keep coming back.
Thank you, Charles. I'd now like to introduce our second speaker, Howard.
I'm an addict named Howard. And I thank God for working diligently in my life because I'm here by His grace and mercy. And I'm so happy that I could cry, because never ever have I had an opportunity to share where I'm at, to share exactly where I'm at. In prayer, man, I have been caught up. I wanted to first say, you know, thank you to the, I want to get it out the way, thank you to the convention, no problem. Thank you to my sponsor, Usman, no problem. Thank you to my sponsee brothers, no problem. I ain't gonna call all their names because I've been praying, man, to just get some shit up out of me. And I cannot stop right now because listen, that my life has been in so much turmoil since January 2nd when I lost, when a nephew of mine got popped 8 times. And I'm just starting to sit well with it. I'm just starting to find God in the whole situation. And they didn't want to throw a topic at a joker called prayer. I'm like, yeah, bring it. Because the whole thing about it is that in order for you me to get in touch that you can believe that I'm truly an addict, right? I need to tell you where I come from, right? Some identification. I got a nasty story to tell you. The story I want to tell you is like, it's like using so hard asking God, why would you let me? Five, you know, look, 8th child out of 10 children, be the one caught up. 5 can use, 5 can't. Why could it not be on the using side? The sociable, acceptable side. Why could it not just be able to wake up in the morning with a fucking rock? I couldn't. I just couldn't. And like in my using, right? One lonely in particular night that I said I wouldn't use no more. Somebody put something in my hand and said, give it to that motherfucker over there. And I tried to get the money too. And I held on to the car and smashed my nose was ripped off. 6 hours of surgery, 300 stitches to put back on. And when I got hit, it was like 5 in the morning. No cars else coming. And the God of my understanding was so merciful on me that it was a hit and run. It felt like water was being poured on me from gushing out my nose, and it brought me to. I didn't ask for help. I picked that crack, I had that crack stem in my pocket with some tissue wrapped up in tissue, and I took the tissue and I wiped my nose and I looked for the shit that was in my hand. I didn't ask for help. Surrender was a hard thing for me to do, was to surrender. I finally looked into another car mirror and I saw my nose hanging and I said, oh God, and I passed out. And someone came by and called the cops and the surgery and the stuff went on and I was homeless now. I was living in a crack house, right? That was clean upstairs, dirty downstairs. I lived downstairs, right? And I called my sister from the hospital. Well, somebody else called her, because I couldn't do nothing. And I thought she was going to let me back in her house. She dropped me back off at the crack house. Mm. You got to remember this sister now. You cannot forget this sister, because she played an integral part in my life. Right? She had given me some money one day to clean up her house, her room, where a tenant was living. But I proceeded to steal everything. I stole everything the man had. And my little nephews, I gave them some watches and stuff like that. All I wanted was the paper, the checkbook. For whatever reason, for my own damn business, I wanted the checkbook. That was worth more than a fucking watch. Right? And they told on me. They told on me. And I got into rehab, and I began to do a knife step with her. Without a sponsor, with about 2 or 3 days clean, I called. She was going to come on Sunday to give a visit. I called. I said, you know, I took this. She didn't show up on Sunday. She didn't show up. And I couldn't understand it, but I could understand it because I had tried to get clean several times. 5 rehabs, right? A couple of stays at Riverhead County Jail in New York, where I'm from, right? So I knew better than to do that shit. But I did it anyway. You know, I did it anyway. And what had happened is that I got some money for the lawsuit money, for the lawsuit, for the nose. The state paid a little bit of money, right? And I used again. And what had happened is I didn't pay the surcharge for some fine I had, and I got locked back up. Now, this is where prayer was really introduced in my life, is that what happened is that the detectives was looking for me when I got out of rehab. And I said, all right, I got 12 steps, 12 traditions, 37 days clean. I'll call him. And I called him. He was on vacation. I beeped him, and he said, "Meet me at the jailhouse. Meet me there." I said, "All right." I met him there, and he talked with me. And I talked with him, and he says, "You're a good guy. I'm gonna call the DA tomorrow and tell him to let you go." And I believed him. I believed him. And what happened is that the God, when he shut that gray door on me, it was chaka chaka chaka. The God of my understanding appeared to me, and he said, "Howard, you're not going home." and he said, "But I got you from here on. Lay down, get some rest, but you're not going home." And I said, okay, I surrendered in that precinct right there on a hard gray bunk, man. And I got to, I went to Riverhead. I feared to go to Riverhead. I didn't want to ever go back there, not clean anyway. I'd been there twice before from using, but I'd sleep it off. And 4 days later, they let you go because my shit wasn't that deep. You know, loitering, shit like that. Not paying a fine, you know, a ticket or something. It wasn't bad, you know, but this time I was clean. And they were sending me to Riverhead County Jail. And I got there, right? And the disease of addiction jumped on my back and said, "Howard, this is not a bad place. They give you peanut butter and jelly, a loaf of bread, some greens." And I started walking around like this with my chest out and shit thinking and doing push-ups on one arm and swinging from the bars and fucking trying to fit in. So I went to a brother in there. I said to him, I said, "Listen, I dated his sister in high school." I said, "Listen, Alton, help me." And he said, "Why? Is somebody bothering you?" I said, "No, I feel like I'm starting to fit in. I'm starting to think this is not a bad place." And my family wasn't taking collect calls. They were like, "No, don't call no more. No, 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 no." So I said to him, I said, "Help, man." And he took me to his boss and he said, "Look, this guy's not a fuck up. I know him. Let him use the phone in the chapel. to make some calls. And I prayed. I hit my knees. And I prayed and I downed and I prayed and I downed and I downed and I downed. And I was getting nowhere, so I thought. They took me the next day in the court, in the jail, to in a tunnel. I used to get a ride to the next courthouse before. But this time it was serious. They took, when you go through the tunnel, you're going upstate. And that's the last place I wanted to be. I didn't want Big Bubba to get a hold of my ass upstate and start digging in me. So I surrendered even harder. I went back to Alton. I said, let me try again. One more time. I said to the judge, I had only the extra to pay $155. And I said to the judge, he said, you got the money? I said, no. And it was otherwise 15 days. He said, execute the alternative. 10 good days and you can go home. I said, I love you. Yes, I hollered that shit out. They thought I was crazy in court. And when I went back in the holding pen, billers were getting 10, 15 years. I said, 10 days? No fucking problem. But I went back into the chapel and I prayed and I hit my knees and I found all kind of spiritual literature in there. And I read and I read and I read. It didn't matter whose God it was. And they put me on the farm. And on the farm, you're in there with every fucking body. Everybody, you're walking around like this. And I didn't want to get stuck. You know? I'm like, I'm crying, man. And about 2 o'clock in the morning, on a Sunday morning, they called my name. I knew what it meant. I knew that it meant I was going home. Somebody, God had sent somebody to get me, because I couldn't survive it. And they said my last name. I don't want to say it, boy. But they called it out. I jumped up. I had 3 shirts. I had a couple of bars of soap and a locker. I went throwing shit around that tier. You can have this. You can have that. You can have that. I'm going home, Jack. Oh, yeah. I was so happy I forgot my damn commissary money. Yeah. And my sister said, you want to turn around and get it? I said, hell no. They can't keep it, boy. I've not seen that county jail again. I've been in some shit since then. I've had some shit come down from New York State because regarding student loans and other kind of shit. Been indicted here, but I ain't seen that place. Yeah. And I'm not going to see that place because I have a God in my understanding who I've truly turned my will and life over to. Who's going to care for me when I can't care for myself? He's bringing me through, man. He's bringing me through this death thing with my family, man. He's bringing me through millions of situations. You know what I'm saying? I'm an entrepreneur. And what that really means in recovery, being a, I know how to create blue smoke and fucking mirrors. All right? That's all it means. And I've been doing this thing, struggling along with my higher power, pushing and pushing and pushing and paying and paying and paying. And it looks like they're going to give me a master dealership. I don't have to sublet to anybody anymore. I don't have to be a fucking stool pigeon and say, I got something. I went right to the source. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And it took a long time. It hasn't been easy. Mm-hmm. It's been nothing but a prayer. Yeah. My recovery has been nothing but a prayer. Yeah. It has not been easy for me. I've been down in recovery. Let's get into it. I've been broke in recovery. Yeah. And my money was frozen. Dennis Vacco froze my fucking checking accounts. And recovery. Yeah. Everything I had. But he didn't know that somebody owed me a lot of money the next morning. Mm-hmm. So it happened. He froze it. But my boss was away. And he didn't pay me on Friday. So I had money coming. I didn't care. I went and bought a brand new car right after that. And then he came back. I would give you dates, but it's not important. The importance is that you see God working in my life when I'm not.
Yeah.
That's the importance. He came back 4 months later and did it again.
Hmm.
I started my business right after that. And then the motherfucker came back in September and did it again. And I'm still here, man.
That's right.
I ain't broke, man. I ain't got my hand out. I just worked harder. I got closer with God. My sponsor tells me that when pain comes, it's really just an opportunity to get closer to God.
That's right. That's right.
That's all it really is.
Right.
It's an opportunity. The seventh step says, right, why ask for something until we're not ready for it, right? And we'd be asking for trouble, right? And then it goes down and it says that, you know, this growth is not a result of wishing, but a prayer in action.
Yeah.
You have to fall. I have to fall down sometime. But when I fall down, I gotta say, "Oh God, where are you now?
Mm-hmm.
You said you had me now. What can I do? What do you want me to do? How can I? Do you want me to make a phone call? What? Give me some action. Give me some direction. You know, should I call my sponsor? You know? Or here. Or should I call that motherfucker I hate? You know? Should I say I'm sorry? You know? Should I get all the glitch out my life? Should I push everything away? Should I forgive my sister? Should I forgive my brother? Should I let go? And not get drugged?
Mm-hmm.
Can I surrender? Does Howard, wait, how important is it, Howard? Is it that important to let somebody into your space to mess your day up? Or should you say, God, look, God, help that person over there? Or should I get in my car and go pick somebody up? What can I do? How can I serve?
Yeah.
How can I be a vessel? How can I be a better person, God, with that which you gave me? Because I truly took my second admission in the first step. I truly did that, you know? You know the second admission? Once I get my life together, I can do it again, motherfucker. You know? I've been there. 5 rehabs, I told you, man.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the first one was about family. The second one about a girl and family. The third one was about political science. That's putting it mildly. You know? The fourth one was about family, political science, the girl.
Mm-hmm.
And the fifth one was about Howard. The fifth one, I connected the dot between here and here, man. I started to speak out on how I felt. I started to say to whoever came in my way, that hurts. I'm not comfortable doing that. I don't think that's right for me. Can you really see me fucked up like that? You don't want to do that to me. You know, I started getting in touch with my intellect and my heartfelt prayer, man. Because, see, the definition of prayer, one that I found, was an earnest one.
Mm-hmm.
Do I need to be bind up in some bullshit this time?
Right.
No, I got a right to be free, man.
Right.
I got a right to live happy, joyous, and free like other people do. I can take anything and do anything, but I say, God, take my will. Guide me in my recovery. Show me how to live. Don't let me show you how to live. You know, be a power of example. Take the pain, brother. Take it. You have comforters. You know, the pillow doesn't talk loud to me anymore.
Mm-hmm.
The pillow doesn't call me to the trick corner that fast anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Come on, man.
That's right.
You know, I had a hard time with that area. It doesn't happen no fucking way.
That's right.
Other than a couple of weeks ago. But I didn't do it. I'll tell you the story. I told my brothers early story. I went to Las Vegas, right? And I ain't gonna tell you the whole thing because other people are being hurt, right? Went to Vegas and had a good time. And you know, like, I picked up a magazine that had some girl phone number. I called her to my room, and I'm gonna tell you the truth. I was peeking out the window again. I was like, God, maybe the person that came here with me is coming to. I was like, hey, no, go. Here's $20 for your valet parking. Get the fuck out of here. You know? Because I couldn't handle it. I couldn't handle it. Wherever I go, there I go. There I go. Now see, I have no justification for what I did. The only thing that I have that I'm grateful for is I had the power to say no. Mm-hmm. When I really wanted to say yeah.
Mm, that's right.
For the moment. But I have consequential thinking. And it doesn't mean that I won't jump in some bullshit and then say, oh wait, I shouldn't be there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I had enough time to pull out. And I thank God for that. That's not easy. You know, that's not easy. I could have went with that, man. And I'd still be in Vegas. I'm telling you. I could have stayed there. You know, I could have stayed there. But, you know, I'm so grateful that I have an opportunity to serve God as best I can. What did you talk about? Being perfect. If it ain't where you want it, it's far fucking away. I'm not that far away. I know I'm not. I'm just an opportunity away. I'm just a moment away to show, can I really work this thing, man? Can I really apply it in the moment? Sometimes I go overboard, but I pull myself back. I got some responsibilities that are greater than a trick, man.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And I gotta think about that, man.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. Right. I got to. It don't matter what time I think about it. Just don't get my feet wet.
Yeah.
Don't, man. You know, don't. I'm not a saint, man. I've had troubles in recovery, but I've come out of them clean.
That's right.
Each and every one of them, each time. I'm looking for a different result today. I'm looking for a spiritual result. You know, and one of the reasons why I went far that close in Vegas, because I've been shut down all year since my nephew been, you know, messed up. And he passed, you know. And I've been like shut down, man. So I figured, let's just get one. You know what I'm saying? Let's just get one. It ain't happening, man. So I'm still like you know, dealing with this issue, you know. So I found another opportunity, you know, to get somebody in my life, you know, and I'm rolling with it for a minute. You know, I'm rolling with it. No big deal. Just gonna roll with it. See what God has to say about it. You know what I'm saying? I'm not getting in the way. You know what I'm saying? I tell you something else too about not getting in the way. I ain't listening for nothing else but God. Because I don't know. Because I've never ever had an opportunity to let him guide me with blindly to somebody. It's always she looked like something for me to go there. Either her toes was pretty, her eyes were nice, you know, her thighs were blessed. You know, I always had reason. You know, reason. I never went blind. You know? I never did the stuff they do in other countries. Here, this is for you. You know what I mean? I never did. I'm trying, man. And my sponsor know I'm trying real hard. We're fighting about this thing, man. We're battling, man. Because I don't know. Man, I have the wonderful... Because I don't know what's good for me. Other than God's will. Other than God's will, because after that second admission that I made, I had to then look down into the second step, right? And find myself looking at you, for evidence. And the evidence was clear that there were some people doing some things here.
Yeah.
That there were some people, that there were some jacks really living, man.
Yeah.
It seemed like every time I went to rehab, right, the counselors and stuff, it looked like they really was going to show up the next day. They had that look. People started, the flowers was popping out. People were looking better, acting better, talking better, thinking better, doing better, driving better cars. So I said, all right, I want to be restored, George Vaughn.
Mm-hmm.
I'll go to probation, Judge Vaughn.
Mm-hmm.
And that was my higher power, I'm telling you now, that restored me to sanity. It was institutions, things, places. But then I said, all right, I'll take a look at the third step. I looked at the third step, after the third step, right? I said, all right, I'll get something more spiritual now. Because I'm just about off probation. So I know that held me. I took that third step. I got in touch with the three disturbing realizations. Accepted my unmanageability over my addiction. That I couldn't blame people, places, and things. And so on and so forth. And that I'm not responsible for my disease, but my recovery. And I glided at the fourth step. It wasn't easy. I didn't get that fourth step right away. And when I finished with the third step, I didn't jump right into the fourth step. It took some time, man. Because I wasn't sure what it was about. Because I didn't read. And I didn't ask anybody. I thought I was going to have to write this list about, you know, everything I did in my past that was ugly. You know what I'm saying? And I didn't want to do that anymore. I didn't. But I got a right sponsor and he said, this is not the purpose. It's to sort through the confusion and contradiction. And that some of us make the mistake. I can open the book, but trust me, you can find it for yourself. It says, check this out. It says that most of us make the mistake of thinking that this is to write about what a bad person I am. So I wasn't praying on that. But I prayed and we did a here and now fourth step. And I got in touch enough to do the fifth step. I just see the fifth step for me was a priority step to get my life in order with God, self, and another human being. And once I got that order down packed, man, once I found out it was a priority step, then the real prayer kicked in. And the sixth step. And they say humility is the ideal state for the recovering addict, right? Bink! I couldn't have no humility there, man. Because I didn't want to fess up that my greed pops up, that my comparison pops up, that my anger pops up, my resentment pops up, you know, comes out. No? Yeah. You know? You know, I want to do something for you, and I want you to talk about that shit for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
I want to walk in the room, and I want you to let everybody know that Howard Dead brought you a dance ticket, motherfucker.
Yeah.
You know? I couldn't release that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been getting in trouble behind my defects. You know? Now I don't carry no money in my front pocket that much anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And let me tell you, can I bring it up? Can I turn the steam up on this thing? Check this out. I would carry a couple of grand in my pocket, ask me for change, and I'd pull the whole fucking knot out.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have change, motherfucker. You know what I'm saying? You know, to lower you in. That defect has cost me a lot of clothes.
Mm-hmm.
It has cost me a lot of travel, a lot of distance on my car,
mm-hmm.
riding up and down the highway on Friday, down and back and forth all over the country. That defect has cost me, it has brought fear to me. I don't want to do it no more. But now, I'm in prayer about this thing, right? And we're constantly talking about this thing, right? That I started to take some action. I can keep the big bills in my fucking wallet now.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And I have a couple dollars in my front pocket. You know? And I ain't got no money.
Mm-hmm.
I'm broke, motherfucker. You pay for dinner. You know what I'm saying? You know? I'm starting to learn to tone it down, man.
Yeah.
If I don't tone these defects down, I'm going to be in the fetal position again.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be knotted up again. and I don't want to get knotted up again. I have come so far. The God of my understanding has given me so much.
Yeah.
He's put me in so many positions. Let me tell you about my recovery now. Look, I belong to a secret society, and I'm the senior deacon there, man.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I belong to another place for my 11th step, and I'm the chaplain there. I don't need to be fucking around. I don't need to be going crazy in recovery. You know, my family looks up to me. My sisters and brothers, you know, when my nephew finally passed, they look to me for answers, for funeral arrangements. Through prayer, and we're getting with people that understand and that understood, I was able to come through. And I'm starting to feel better about that. And they don't have to tell anybody about that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not looking for that kind of SWAT on that one.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking to put him in my naked left breast and say, baby, I miss you so much.
Mm-hmm.
I wish I could have took one bullet for you, man. I wish I could have stopped that thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I'm at with that. I wish that God didn't need you right now. Because
yeah.
I want you here with me.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see your face, baby boy.
Mm.
I want to hug you, man. And we have never, ever, it was 33, we never had a drink together.
Mm-hmm.
That's how he's respected me.
Mm.
Even though he drank or whatever. We've never, ever sat down and broke no kind of bottle together, man.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying that I want to do that now.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm saying is that I want to thank him, man. I want to be there. I want him to be here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hurting, but it's feeling so much better now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm getting so much relief because I'm understanding God's will,
yeah.
His perfect will.
Yeah.
They say, my response is, you know, why put a question mark where God puts a period?
Mm-hmm.
What makes you think God's perfect will isn't being done right now? What makes you think that it's all about you? What about the years you had with him?
Mm-hmm.
What about your sister? What about somebody? Can you pray for them? And I do. We circle up and we pray, man. And we ask God to just do his thing. I was at a spiritual retreat last week, and I thought that I had some deep shit to share, and I didn't get to share.
Mm-hmm.
And I talked with one of the brothers from Texas, and he told me his story. I said, I don't think I'll share that shit. You know?
Mm-hmm.
You know, God puts me in touch, man. You know, sometimes, like you said, right, prayer is the action part, right, in the 11th step, right, and listening is the meditation part. You know, there is also a part of your belief being enacted in it, too. That's why it says in the 11th step that you got to be careful that you don't believe all the shit you believe, because you'll quit your job. You'll think, because I'm bored, I'm having a bad day, you'll have a snap decision like that to go slow. So I moved slow, and I was able to get the answers, and last week I went home filled, man. You know, filled with lips sealed, filled, happy, joyous, and free once again. And that's where this prayer thing has been putting me, man. It's been putting me at the end. You know, they say that there's a disruptive power, too, that's violent in nature, right? You know, just as bad as the higher power, too. Is it going to take you down? Well, let me put that like this here. It will wax your ass.
Yeah.
All right? It'll wax your ass.
Mm-hmm.
It ain't got nothing on the higher power.
Mm-hmm.
All right?
Mm-hmm.
And I got to be careful not to play into that. I have to keep my spiritual development, right, has to keep going uphill, man. I can't pause. Because I pause and it'll get me.
Yeah.
It'll get me. And then I want to read something and shut up, man. You know, because I've been like, you know, I've been blessed to have a great understanding of what it is that my purpose is, you know, and that is just simply to stay clean, no matter what comes down the pipeline. I have some things coming up in May, right, that are painful, but I ain't worried about them. I'm living each day like, I don't even know they're coming.
Mm-hmm.
I deal with that day when that day get here, man. I still have the God, the same God that brought me out the muck and mire is still working here with me.
Mm-hmm.
It still is, man. You know, look, let me tell you something. I've been trying to get into a better position in my life, right? On a personal note, right? Mm-hmm. You talked about credit and stuff right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've been sued a lot in recovery. Mm-hmm. And some of it, yeah, you know, I've been sued. An ex-girlfriend got me.
Mm-hmm.
She's on my credit report,
mm-hmm.
you know, for the next 7 years, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the State Department got me. Dennis Bacco, he got me. His ass popped up on the credit report, too. You know what I'm saying? And I paid them all off, man.
Right.
I paid them all off. No shit, man. I paid them off, man. And right now I'm in a position where I can get anything that I want.
Mm-hmm.
You know, recovery is endless opportunities.
Right.
Just because a dilemma comes your way, that don't mean you're stuck.
That's right.
It doesn't mean that, you know. The bank called me this morning, man, and said, congratulations. My man, no, he was in the room. I said, I love you, Wanda. I said, yeah, they called me this morning, man. Let me tell you, you want to hear it, man? You want to hear it? I've been looking for a line of credit so that I could buy inventory without my money.
Mm-hmm.
And they granted that shit.
Yeah.
Now I got a line of credit. She said, you want me to transfer some money now? I said, yeah, put two in. Now then I said, fuck it, put three. I'm greedy, you know? You know what I'm saying? But I'm giving you this to give you the hope that God works in people's lives.
That's right.
I came down here worried about that.
Mm-hmm.
Usman, no, I came down here like don't ask me for the toll, don't ask me for a coin, man.
Mm-hmm.
Ask me for a fucking coin. God damn it. I'm serious, man. I had that attitude. I want to sleep, because if I'm asleep, you can't ask me for a coin. You know what I'm saying? Because my payroll was up. I had, you know, every fucking thing, man, is up.
Mm-hmm.
And she called me this morning, man, and said, I've been approved. What you want to do now? I can't wait to get back home now. I'm telling you, boy, I want to go in my office. I want to be like, I want to probably break dance. You know what I'm saying? You know, because it's such a relief. It's such a relief to know that things are happening for Howard. That things are going. Here, this is the reason why. Right, here we go. We saw that making our spiritual development our primary focus, other aspects of our lives would progress naturally as they were meant to all along. So this should have been happening to me anyway. But I had to take a detour. I had to do like the birds when the birds fly south. Sometimes they gotta go west because the wind is too heavy.
Mm-hmm.
And they gotta get in a V form. They gotta form a V to cut through the wind. I've been cutting through the wind with Narcotics Anonymous.
Mm-hmm.
It's been my V form, man. With my sponsor, with my sponsees, with my sponsorship family. We've been cutting through the wind of the blows of life, of the storms, man. I've been going through hell, and I'm still here, happy, joyous, and free. And check this out. It says, listen to me here. It says here, and glory be revealed. It says, we're going to need some enthusiasm if we want to ongoing recovery. And it says changes occur. Because what's appropriate to one phase of recovery may not be for another. You may have been able to blow past God in the beginning, but you can't get past him now in the sixth step. You gotta ask for help, man. You gotta ask for more help than you did in the first step. Because we ain't talking about a specific relief from the drugs right now in the sixth step. We're talking about a relief that only God can relieve you of. No detox can hold you down from your fucking character defects, man. They can't do it. Show me one place in America that says, come here for 30 days to change your defects of character. And I'll be right there. I'll be the first one online, man. Because hell is coming when I continue to play in the fire. You know, 30, I can't be free of that. I'm all so happy and whatnot, and I'm very, I know you got a job to do. I'm going to let you do it. I'm going to let you do it. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to shut it down. I'm going to let you do it. Thanks for letting me shut it down.